Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from John chapter 4, the first 30 verses, and the title of the message this morning, kind of a simple title, but it is titled The Water Pot. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 30. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a Samaritan? Woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast is not thy husband. In this thou saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place for men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said unto the men, Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then went they out of the city and came unto him. A lot of verses, a familiar story. But what we're going to, like I said, the title is The Water Pot. As we see, it's kind of focused around that this morning, how she carried her water pot to the well. And then if you caught there in verse 28, she left her water pot and went away. And we're going to look at that. But our goal this morning, first of all, we're going to look at the setting. Then we're going to talk a little about the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. We're going to focus a lot on the conversation between Jesus and the woman. Then we're going to talk a little bit about her water pot, followed by some practical applications along with a few questions. So first of all, let's talk about the setting. We see here that Jesus left Judea and departed into Galilee in verse 3. And as you see on the map, on the bottom of the map, you see Judea, then the darker green is Samaria, and Galilee is towards the top. And so Samaria is right in between these two cities, and the Jews often avoided going through Samaria because they didn't want to have any connection with them. So if you can see the blue line at the bottom, they would go east over towards the Jordan River, and some would cross and some would just follow the river up around Samaria, the long way out around, to avoid talking to the Samaritans. And as we see in verse 9, we see the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. So the Jews would take the long route to avoid talking to these people. But Jesus, as we're going to see here just shortly, we'll call it the shortcut. He went directly through Samaria, and that is where the setting of the story takes place. If Jesus had taken the normal Jewish route, he would have missed this great opportunity. A little bit about the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. And this started back in 722 BC. The Syrians conquered the northern kingdom and taken the Jews captive into Assyria. And while they were in captive, the Jews intermarried with the Assyrians. Then 136 years later, in 586 BC, the Babylonians conquered the southern kingdom, which is Judah. And during their captivity, the southern kingdom Jews did not intermarry with the Babylonians. And now that both these kingdoms, the northern and the southern, are back in their homeland, the Israelites from the southern kingdom consider those from the northern kingdom to be who had intermarried with the Assyrians to be half-breeds, or better known now here as the Samaritans. So there was a bitter hatred between the two. It was so deep that a popular prayer back in the day from those of the southern kingdom was, "Lord, do not even remember the Samaritans in the resurrection." Now, just to point out the deep hatred that they had for each other. It has been said that no Samaritan was allowed to become a convert of the Jews. Then you're going to say, "Well, Leon, you just read that it happened." Well, we'll get there just shortly. And also, in my studies, a Jew might be friendly with a heathen person, but they will never be friendly with a Samaritan. And not that I approve of this action, but this is the hatred that we see happening when the woman said to Jesus, "Why are you talking to me?" Because there was no dealings between the Jews and the Samaritans. So with these feelings in place, we understand why she was surprised when Jesus approached the conversation. And what we want to just, this picture will be up for the rest of the message, but here we see the conversation. And what I would like you to do is just, as you're sitting here in Myerstown in 2026, let your mind go back to this setting and see if we've been standing about 25 feet away listening. And here we have Jesus and the conversation with this woman of Samaria. She came to the well, and there she met Jesus. I was impressed in the way the Sunday school lesson ties in so well what we're looking at here this morning, and that is that Jesus knows all things. He knows all about us this morning. Everything, and he knew all about this woman, as we're going to see here shortly. And I think, I'm confident, this meeting here that we're looking at this morning was by divine appointment. Jesus didn't take the shortcut to Galilee by accident. This meeting was planned with an agenda, although he didn't hand out any paperwork to show you what was on the agenda. This was a meeting planned with an agenda. Jesus went directly to the well, and he sat there waiting for the woman to come, knowing that she was on the way. Jacob's well has been said is about 2 miles southeast of today considered Nablus, and that well can still be visited today. The well was about 3 feet in diameter and 100 feet deep. So we get back in the story. Jesus was tired and thirsty from his long walk, which clearly explains the full humanity of Jesus Christ, both his humanity and his deity. Tired and thirsty, and as we see in verse 31, the disciples were confident that he was hungry as well. Hebrews 4:14 and 15, it ends with, "We have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So a little bit more in his on his humanity, Jesus Christ was tempted like we are, but yet he was victorious through it all, yet without sin. He knows, Jesus Christ knows what we are going through. He understands our trials as well as our temptations. In the end of verse 6, we see it was the sixth hour of the day, which in our time today was 12 o'clock noon. It was during the heat of the day. And we could ask the question, why was this woman coming to draw water at this time of the day? It's been known that the women usually draw water in the early morning or in the afternoon or in the evening during the cooler time of the day. And we could look at that and say, well, obviously, Leon, she was thirsty, which is correct. But were there any other reasons why she would come here in this time of the day? Was she trying to sneak out quickly for a drink, hoping to avoid conversation with others? Was that her plan? But as she approached this well, she saw a Jew sitting there resting from his travels. So she came with her water pot, hoping for a pot full of water and a quick retreat back to her house. And we could look at this story this morning and we could simply say, well, what I picture here is a woman coming for a drink of water. And the question could be asked, is there more to the picture? I believe what Jesus saw was a woman in need of a Savior. And as I read the story, we know her, a little bit about her. Jesus knew all about her, just like the Secret Service knew about Alex's father. But try to imagine the guilt and the shame that she was living with. Try to imagine the way she was feeling. She could have been thirsty. I'm reading in this a little bit. She could have been thirsty all morning, but knew she had to wait until noon to go for water, hoping that no one else would be at the well at this time of day. She could not risk going to the well when others would have the opportunity to question her about her way of life. And I think it's safe to say she did not have a good reputation, and she was well aware of it. I also believe if Jesus had not talked to her, she would have drew the water that she came for and left the well as soon as possible without saying a word to him. But verse 7 is beautiful. She comes to the well, and immediately Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. As she came to the well, Jesus immediately strikes up a conversation. And here again, just to continue to remind us, Jesus knew who she was. Jesus was aware of her reputation. Jesus knew why she was at the well at this time of the day, but he did not condemn her for her lifestyle, although he did not approve of the way she was living. And there's so much we can learn about this encounter. Jesus knew that she was a hurting woman. But what he saw was a sinner in need of a Savior. And to initiate a conversation, he said, please give me a drink. Yes, Jesus also knew she was considered an outcast in the eyes of the Jews. Jesus also knew that she was living in adultery. And with knowing all of this, Jesus sat there in the well, or if the picture is correct, beside the well, and said, woman, give me a drink. They were alone at the well. If you look at verse 8, the disciples left to go into the city to buy food. So I think the setting was right, and the request was fitting to open a conversation. But she was not impressed to be talking to a Jew. A little bit about Jesus. He lived a perfect life, as we saw there in Hebrews. And he lived above the level of prejudice. He wasn't going there. But he deliberately engaged a Samaritan woman in a conversation, even though he knew she was from a despised race. Jesus' request was one designed to lead to the subject of eternal life. Did you catch? Jesus did not try to embarrass her. Again, he knew all about her, but his approach opened the way for further conversation. Unfortunately, her initial response was short. It was to the point, and may I say, it was with an intent to engage in an argument. Just the way she come back and said, how is it, thou being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? I'm not sure she said it, but it's there in the Bible, for the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritan. Verse 10, Jesus calmly avoids confrontation with the woman. While aware of her need, he knew that she was experiencing a void in her heart. She had failed to get the satisfaction of life that she was searching for. And I think we would all agree that this woman needed Jesus, but at this point, we get to verse 10 here, she did not know who Jesus was. So Jesus went on and he said, if you knew the gift of God, if you knew, and this is a problem, can I use that word, with some men and women today, many simply do not know. Many people today are running around searching for something to fill that void in their life. And like this woman, they cannot find fulfillment. So they keep on searching. I think Alex mentioned that, how we just do things just to fill our time and just to stay away from God. But we just run in circles and you get nowhere. Many people today do not know how wonderful Jesus Christ is. They do not know that he can give them the peace that they are longing for and the fulfillment that they are searching for. Or maybe some do know that Jesus is the answer, but they're rejecting or refusing his call. Those who know Jesus were disciples. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, our duty is to what? To know Christ and to make him known. You know, that's one of our callings today. We are called to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are called to lead others to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God, he's telling this woman, if you knew that Jesus Christ, if you knew Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah, then you have asked for living water. What Jesus was doing here, he was directing her attention to the gift of salvation that's available for all. The living water will fill that void in your life. It will change your life completely and will set you on a pathway to eternal life. But Jesus knew this woman was experiencing an emptiness in her heart. Church, this morning, we need to know Jesus Christ. We need to know who he is. There will be an empty feeling in every heart when Christ is left out. In every heart, there is a thirst for something that only Jesus can satisfy. It's hard to describe. A nameless, unsatisfied desire. A stirring feeling of discontent that only Jesus can satisfy. A quote from Harold Martin, I quote, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in God," end quote. Our hearts are restless, just continuing to search and seek and try to find fulfillment until we find God. So the question based on that quote could be asked, are you restless this morning or are you resting in God? Where are we at? Jesus said, if you knew, you would have asked. This comment got her attention. This is what she was looking for. She really wanted to get some of this water. But at this point, she was still thinking that this living water was in Jacob's well where they were sitting. And in her limited thinking and understanding, she pointed out to Jesus, you know, Jesus, you cannot draw water from this well. This well is deep. Plus, Jesus, you have nothing to draw with. Today, some people might say, hopefully we don't, but you might hear it said, someone say, who do you think you are promising something you cannot produce? Is that where this woman was at? According to verse 12, she wasn't quite done with her comment. She said, do you think, Jesus, you're better than Jacob, our father Jacob? He's one who gave us this well. Who do you think you are? It's obvious that she did not know who she was talking to. And then verse 13, Jesus made it clear that he was not referring to the well that was in Jacob's, the water that was in Jacob's well. If you draw from this well, you will thirst again. You'll be back for more. This is not the water that I'm referring to. And verse 14, another beautiful verse. Whosoever drinketh of this water, or the water that I shall give him, shall never thirst. Jesus will fill every void in our lives. after we have Jesus in our heart, there'll be no need to continue to search for something else. Jesus will quench the thirsty soul. Jesus will satisfy the searching heart. He will fill the emptiness in our hearts, and he will heal the hurting child. And Jesus was offering her living water. The living water Jesus is referring to comes from an unfailing source, ever flowing and always fresh. And this water symbolizes redemption. This water includes the forgiveness of sins. This water includes a daily commitment to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And along with that, the desire to conduct our lives in a way that will bring glory to his name. Is that the water that we are drinking from? And I think this woman was a little confused. You know, she came to the well for some water to quench her physical thirst, but Jesus saw her need and pointed her to the gift of salvation, basically to himself, as a source of everlasting satisfaction and ever-flowing spring within the life of every born-again believer. Those who drink or take in or accept Jesus Christ will never thirst again. In Christ, we will experience a life of satisfaction that nothing in this world can give us. And let's just pause there for a moment. What are we searching for in life? Are you searching for something outside of Jesus Christ? We sing the song sometime. I think it's number 314. No need to sing it now, but we sing the song, Jesus Christ is all I need. And we sing it, but do we believe it? Sure, tomorrow we're going to head out and do this and that, and we have jobs to do and things to take care of, but are we filled with that living water from Jesus Christ? The new life in Christ is available to all who come to him by faith, believing that he is the Son of God. And the result of that, of this faith, will be everlasting life. Our thirst will be quenched, and we'll be living in a complete satisfaction. Jesus was offering her something that she did not have. And the question is, do we have it this morning? Are we drinking from that living water? In verse 7, Jesus said, please give me a drink. And then we jump down to verse 15 where we're at. And she said, the woman said unto her, sir, give me this water. Now we're getting places. She wanted this water. The Samaritan woman had taken Jesus' words literally. In her mind, if Jesus would give her a supply of this water, her trips to the well would be finished. Yeah, she had a desire for living water, but didn't understand what Jesus was trying to teach her. And then I'm often amazed, and I might have mentioned it before, at the way Jesus changes the subject in a conversation. So if you look at verse 13, 14, 15, we know what the conversation was. Then we get to verse 15. And Jesus switches the subject immediately after she asked for living water. And I think maybe Jesus knew that she was not quite ready for this. So Jesus' answer to her request for living water was, woman, go back to town, get your husband, and bring him back to the well. And here's where it ties in again with our Sunday school lesson so well. Jesus knows all about us. Each one here this morning, he knows all about your life. He knows what you did yesterday. He knows what you're going to do tomorrow. He knows what you're thinking about right now. He knows what you're going to say. He knows what you're going to do this week. He knows what you're going to say tomorrow. Jesus knows all about it. I like the way Alex asks, does that bring you comfort or fear? So before we do something next time, you think about it. Wait a minute. Jesus knows about this. And it's so beautiful. It keeps us on the straight and narrow way, but he knows all about us. A couple questions. Are you searching to fill your water pot with something other than the living water from Jesus Christ? She came with her water pot. She wanted just water from Jacob's well, and Jesus said, you can drink that, but I got something better for you. Are we satisfied with the less, or are we satisfied with the best? Are we searching for something that we need to continue to drink more of to attempt to get a fulfillment? Or are we going to go to Jesus Christ and allow him to fill us? What is in your water pot? You know, this woman was coming for some water, but what is in your water pot? And just a few here. Is there bitterness in your water pot? Is there hard feelings in your water pot? Or fill in the blank. What are you feeding on today? What is in your water pot? What are we searching for to satisfy our desires? And just a few. Is it wealth? Is it fame? Is it recognition? What about acceptance? Or here again, fill in the blanks. What are we searching for? What's our heart longing for to put in our pot? And as you're thinking about that, I remind you that Jesus knows the thoughts and the desires of our heart. So he knows without you even saying. But the fact is that Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. And he wants to fill your water pot with that living water, which is himself. He wants to fill you with him, with his Holy Spirit. In verse 17, moving on, the woman was not quite ready to talk about her marriage relationship. Obviously, she did not know she was talking to Jesus. So she tried to avoid the conversation and she tells Jesus, Jesus, I'm not married. Jesus said, you know, you said you don't have a husband, but woman, you were married 5 times. If the Jews had no dealings with Samaritans, Jesus didn't know her family. I mean, Jesus wasn't related to her and knew about her marriages. No, he didn't have to be. He knows all things. Telling Jesus the untruth is a big mistake. She tried to, like I said, avoid the conversation. As you look at the picture, you would agree, Jesus is a kind, he's merciful, and he's a loving master. But my advice is don't speak the untruth to our master. Do not speak the untruth. Always speak the truth. Ask for forgiveness where it's needed, because Jesus loves to forgive those who ask him. Got ahead of myself. Verse 18. You're married 5 times. The man you're living with now is not your husband. This part of your answer is correct. And I believe she thought, I'll give her some credit, she thought a little bit between verses 18 and 19. And then she responded, sir, again, still not knowing that it was Jesus, but there's something special about this man. She said, sir, are you a prophet? Which would be divinely inspired with supernatural knowledge. And the answer this morning is obviously yes. But she was asking him that. And according to the Bible, she doesn't give him time to answer. But verse 20, I think it's an attempt to further avoid the conversation that Jesus tried to start about her marriage relationship. She said, our fathers worshiped in the mountain, but you say, or the Jews say, that Jerusalem is a place to worship. The Samaritan insisted that God must be worshipped on a certain on a mountain west of Jacob's well. Then verse 21, Jesus explains that the real question is not where, but rather how to worship. Then I believe he did it very kindly. He points out that the Samaritans do not even know the God they're worshiping because salvation is of the Jews. Verse 22 is pointing out the fact that through a Jewish mother, the Messiah would be born and God's plan of salvation would be available to all through Jesus Christ. He reminds her that many people feel that the proper place to worship is within their group. And Jesus is saying, no, we worship him, the Father, in spirit and in truth. We can worship at any location. We don't need to worship in a certain mountain or in a certain city. Real worship is the exercise of our entire being. Worship includes our heart, our mind, our will, in confession, adoration, and praise and prayer to God. True worship includes complete surrender to the Lord. We worship in spirit and in truth with an open, teachable heart. I think verse 25, the woman was trying to discredit, if I can say that, the authority of Jesus. Here she is saying, I know, she's speaking, imagine her at the well there. I know the Messiah is coming, kind of just pushing him away for a little bit, which is called the Christ. When he has come, he's going to tell us all things. We're going to listen to the Messiah. We'll listen to Christ when he comes. But as for you right now, just step back a few steps. Let me get my water and get back home. And look at verse 26. And just picture being there, again, as I mentioned earlier, 20 feet from the well, listening to the conversation, hearing what was taking place. And Jesus said this, and Jesus said to the woman, "I that speak unto thee am he." Here she is searching and searching and searching, not finding, basically failing. And Jesus said, "You're talking to the Messiah. Woman, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Messiah. I can offer the gift of living water. Woman, there is no need to go look for another Messiah. I that speak unto you am he." And imagine her standing or sitting or kneeling there, whatever you want to say, and almost in shock at what has just happened. Maybe she had a few follow-up questions. But before anything else could happen, verse 27, the disciples return from their trip to buy food. And now, I believe the woman was amazed at what she just heard, but now we see the disciples were amazed that why was Jesus having a conversation with the Samaritan woman? But they didn't ask anything. They didn't say anything or ask why Jesus was talking to her. Then we get to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went to the city and said to the men. In her excitement to go tell those about Jesus, she left her water pot and returned to the city. This time she was not trying to hide from others, but to tell others about Jesus. And she urged them to come to the well to see Jesus. But I had mentioned earlier, we're going to talk a little bit about her water pot. She brought her water pot to the well for water, for a drink of water. She came to fill her pot to quench the thirst in her soul, but she left it lay. She came to the water pot. She came to the well carrying her water pot close to her heart. Yes, I know back in the days they carried it in her head, but I'm going to say she carried it close to her heart like this. It was empty, and she came to the well. So she came to the water pot, the well, carrying her water pot close to her heart with a desire to refill, for a refill of her current lifestyle. But the Bible says she left it lay. Her water pot was a sign of who she was. This is the vessel that she filled to satisfy her need. But she left it lay. Her water pot was used to quench her thirst, her desires, her love for her lifestyle, but she left it lay. The Bible does not tell us that she took a minute or two to draw water for Jesus. Although if you go online and search for pictures like I did, you have a bunch of them that'll show you that she actually gave Jesus a drink, but that's not what I read. She didn't even take time to say, "Oh, thank you for showing me that. Here, let me get you some water before I run back to town." No, she left her water pot lay and ran to tell others about Jesus. So as we ponder the scene, I have a question. It kind of comes back to what I asked a little bit earlier. But what are we searching for to fill our water pot? Is there something in your water pot that Jesus is asking you, telling you this morning, brother, sister, leave it lay and go tell others what I have done for you? And I repeat, what are we searching for to fill our water pot? I remind you that Jesus knows the thoughts and desires of our hearts. Jesus knew this, what this woman was searching for, and he approached the situation in a very unique way to get her to the point where she was ready for him to say, "I that speak unto you am he." Not only does Jesus know about each one of us this morning, Jesus also cares about each soul here this morning. We cannot lie to Jesus. That's a pretty harsh word, because when she says she has no husband, that was the untruth. We cannot lie to Jesus, and we cannot avoid the hard questions that he asks. So think about your conversation with Jesus. A couple more questions. Are we trying to change the conversation? Go call your husband. Oh, I don't have any. Let's not go there with my conversation. Let's talk about the weather. Are we trying to change the conversation, or are we being honest with Jesus? another question. What is in your water pot that Jesus is asking you to leave it lay so he can fill you with the living water? Is there something in our water pot that we need to go to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness? Are you here this morning saying, Lord, I've been trying to fill my water pot with, and this time I'm just going to say, fill in the words. But today, Lord, I'm asking you to fill my water pot. I mean, to empty my water pot of sin and self and help me to fully surrender my life to you. Are you here this morning saying, Lord, fill me now. Fill me now. Salvation is not only for the Jews. It's available to all who come to him believing. John 3:16. You know, even the disciples questioned the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But I'd like to read a couple more verses, verses 39 to 42. Jumping ahead a little bit. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Excuse me. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought or they begged him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. So you go back to verse 39, many believed. You go to verse 40, and many more believed because of the words of Jesus Christ. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, but because we heard him ourselves and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Just picture this scene here. Then we jump to those verses. And what do we see? Many believed. If this Samaritan woman would have decided to ignore the words of Jesus, to say, oh no, here's another Jew, I'm going to quickly draw my water from Jacob's well and run back to the comfort zone of my house, what would have happened? She would have died in her sin. I'm not judging her. I'm just saying she would not have met Jesus Christ and been separated eternally from the presence of Jesus Christ. But this woman made a wise decision. She left her water pot, which would include her previous sinful lifestyle. And she became a disciple of Jesus Christ, reaching her home community with the gospel of salvation. She pointed people to Jesus Christ, and many believed to the point where they begged Jesus, just stay in our city for a while. And we see here he stayed 2 days so they could hear the gospel message. Are we faithfully spreading the gospel message to the people around us? Or maybe we're trying to fill our water pot with selfish goals and desires. Do you want to experience the living water from Jesus Christ? Are you done searching for something to fill that empty spot in your heart? Are you tired of searching but never finding? Are you ready to ask Jesus to fill you with the living water? Church, this morning, I believe Jesus is calling. Jesus here today is asking you if you want his living water to fill that void in your heart. Will you respond to him today? I'm going to have an invitation. Joe, you want to get a song ready? I'm going to have an invitation this morning, and this is your opportunity this morning to ask Jesus to quench your thirst. What are you longing for? What are you searching for to fill that void of that emptiness in your heart? As we sing, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Someone will come right away and take you to the basement for prayer. If Jesus is speaking to you this morning, are you going to listen to him? Or are you going to try to change the subject? So the question is, will you say yes to Jesus this morning? Before we sing, let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you today. Thank you, Lord, for this story. And Lord, this morning, we just ask that your will be done. Lord, we ask you to please give those who you are calling the strength to walk down the aisle and to say yes to your invitation. May your will be done this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Joe, what will the song be? What number? 314 in the Christian hymnal. As we sing, if